You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Thursday. Heading into the weekend here, just a couple days left. Maybe it's 5:30 in the afternoon when you've tuned in. Hey, maybe you guys only have one day left. So heading towards the weekend, I invite you to church this weekend. Matter of fact, our food pantry is open as well this weekend. If you are in the area and if you are in need of food, I invite you guys. Our food pantry here at Island is open from 10 to 12 this Saturday morning. If you are in need and live in the area, I invite you, encourage you to come on by. We'll give you some food here. Make sure that you guys have enough food. So Sunday morning, my sermon is going to be in Matthew chapter 13, and it's going to be a follow-up to what we're hearing on the radio today and yesterday, and that is Ananias and Sapphira, these two people, this husband and wife who died instantly for lying to God. And this coming Sunday, I want to look at how people like this ended up in the church, because there's an answer to that. The Lord Jesus is going to tell us in this coming Sunday that people like Ananias and Sapphira in the church is par for the course. So we're going to get a little, they call that saying, it's inside baseball. It's a little look on the inside of things we'd never know on our own. But someone that's inside reveals them to us. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning. The Lord's going to reveal a whole lot to us and how people like Ananias and Sapphira ended up in the church the first time. So that's where we're going to be this Sunday. Here now today, this is part two of this message here. Indeed, Ananias and Sapphira, we're looking at these two guys, the husband and wife, who conspired together to lie to God over the sale of their property. So this is part two. Let's pick it up now again here a few minutes earlier than where we left off yesterday, and we'll hear now the rest of this message.
Now the Apostle Peter knew their sins without asking. Okay, Ananias is dead. He collapsed and died for lying to God by lying to God's representative. Now how about his wife? Verse 7. Now it was about 3 hours later that his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Certainly they had to separate them. Because his wife would have seen what happened to him, you know, that she would have pulled an Adam and she would have said, no, not me, it's that woman you gave to me, you know. The old accusing fingers would have come out. No, they had to separate them. Well, they're going to separate them because he's done dead as a doornail now at this point. But I'm sure she would have changed her tune if he was lying down there on the ground dead like this. So she comes in, not knowing what had happened, verse 8. So Peter asked her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yep, for so much. All right, so here comes old Sapphira coming back from the camel dealer in town and from getting her hair done. I mean, these two are rolling in dough right about now, right? They got all this money from selling their property. Now, there's nothing wrong with buying a camel, and there's nothing wrong with getting your hair done and using your own money for it, but don't lie to God about it. Peter said, this was your money. You're free to do whatever you want, but don't lie to God about it. That's not how he's going to build his church. It's not going to be built on you lying about it. Be honest about it. In the early days of the church, lying to God would not be tolerated. So tell me, Pete says,
did you sell the land for the same amount of money that your husband said? And she said, yep, the same amount. You know, I was telling the pastor Darren a mile, of all the things I've done wrong, I don't think I've ever done that one. I mean, I've probably lied to countless hundreds of people in my life. I've let God down hundreds of times in my life. I have probably sinned when I know that I shouldn't have sinned in my life. But lying to God?
I mean, imagine, you know, you're praying to God. I said, God, my name is Tom Selleck. I'm 6'5", 175 pounds. I was born in Australia, and my mother's name is Gertrude. Who would do that?
We're going to get to the answer of that. Who would do that? Because there's a certain group of people that have a certain daddy, you see, that it's their nature to do that. And this is what happened to these guys. We're going to get to that here coming up. So Peter said, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? So how did that conversation go? Can you imagine that?
Psst.
Let's tell Pastor Pete that we sold the property for so much and we'll just keep the rest.
No one will know. I mean, Pastor Pete's just a man, right? It's not like he's psychic or something. It's not as if we're lying to God or something. Lying to God's representative in that day was lying to God. And I don't think that that's a chance that you want to take today, that that doesn't apply today. Anyway, why would you? Why would you? Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, or look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and died. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carried her out, buried her by her husband. I can hear it now, right? Here come these guys coming back in, and they say, here we go again. Don't put the shovel away yet, Hector. Old Pete's not done yet. I mean, they barely come back in, and now here's another one. There's stone cold dead here in the church. They probably came back, and they probably still had their shovels when they came back in this time after this one. But what a shock and a revelation that lying to the spiritual leader in the church was the same thing as lying to God. They didn't lie to God, they lied to Peter. But Peter said, you didn't lie to me, you lied to God. That's a shocking revelation. Lying to the pastor of the church was the same thing as lying to God. That's shocking for me. That's shocking. I didn't see that way. If it was the Lord standing in front of them, maybe they wouldn't have done that. They lied to a man. No, that's not what the Bible says. They lied to God. Now, as a result, verse 11. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all, that is, all the unbelievers and everyone else as well. Not just the church. All the church and upon everyone who heard these things. Now, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which he is, and if God says, I am the Lord, I change not, and he doesn't, then why don't people drop dead today for lying to God the same as these people did? My answer to that is, who says they're not? Who says they're not? I know personally of two people in Brevard County who died a mysterious death after lying about one of God's spiritual leaders for the purpose of causing harm to that person. Listen to what Jesus told this pastor from a city named Thyatira. He said in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, he said, I've got this against you. He's talking to the spiritual leader of the church. I've got this against you, that you tolerate that woman. My translation says you tolerate your wife, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not wish to repent.
of her sexual immorality. Behold, I am casting her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, if they do not repent of her works. Then he says this, I will kill her children with death. And all the churches will know. That's funny. That's just like the book of Acts. All the churches will know that I am he who searches minds. Actually, that word means your gut feelings. I am he that searches your gut feelings and your hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now, sometimes lying to God or some other unrepentant sin will bring sickness to people. Don't listen to these charismatics out here with bad doctrine. Some sickness can come from God, not just the devil. Like verses we just looked at. You cannot rebuke this sickness when God sends it to you. Here's another sickness that comes from God. Let me read this to you. 1 Corinthians 11:27. From taking Holy Communion the wrong way. Paul said, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup irreverently will be guilty of the body of the Lord and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and in this way let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That's why we're quiet before we take communion here, right, church? It's not how we do this. It's a serious, it's a somber thing. We take the time and realize what Jesus did by dying in our place. That's why we don't take it haphazardly, because of this. Because the same thing that happened to these two guys might not happen in exactly the same way, but let a man examine himself, and in this way let him eat from the bread and drink from the cup. For he that eats and drinks irreverently eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. All right, now here's how to remedy that. Let me keep reading. Well, first of all, he says, because of this, many of you are weak and sick, and many have died. He said, because of this, for taking Holy Communion irreverently, not with the understanding that this is sacred and it's holy. We're remembering what Jesus did on the cross. Something not to be taken lightly. That's why he says, because of this, many among you are weak and sick, and many have died. Now, here's how to remedy that. Verse 31. He says, for if we would judge ourselves correctly, then we would not be judged. Simple solution, right? If we would judge ourselves correctly, then we would not be judged. Now, here in the case of Ananias and Sapphira and the early church, that would look like something like this. Peter, we didn't sell that house for that much. We kept back some of the money for ourselves. But we want to be real, Peter. I've got anxiety about the prospect of not having anything. How many people in this church can relate to the idea of the notion of not having a dollar to your name? Right? All you got to do is be honest. That's what he's looking for. I have anxiety of the prospect of not having anything. I fear losing my security. You see, that's real. And that's truth. And that's normal to feel that way. And that's what he's looking for from us. To be real. And to be truthful. He can handle that when we're real and truthful with him. All right. So after what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, the Bible says, to no one's surprise, in verse 11, it says, so great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Boy, can't you just hear that now, too? That little buzz, right? Psst. Do you hear what happened to old Annie and Sapphira? Boy, can't you? What a juicy tidbit of gossip that must have been. Psst. Imagine that. I mean, if someone gets a flat tire, the church down the street, we hear about that. I mean, imagine dropping dead here in this church. Boy, could you imagine The old Monday morning email that would have circulated amongst the Brevard Baptist Association over that one. Do you hear what happened over there? Psst. Like when Indiana Jones is on that blimp and he throws that Nazi out the window and they look at him and he says, no ticket. Then everyone holds up a ticket, you know. I've got mine right here. Same kind of thing here at the death of these two guys. Oh, no. No one wanted to join the church anymore after this one. And the message to the early church was, lying to God will not be tolerated. That was the message. You can't be a practicing liar and be a part of what God's doing in his church. The two don't mix. It's like oil and water. Not someone who has lied, but someone who is a liar. That the adjective describes you. You've got to change that. We're not going to have a foundation built on liars or deceivers, but on truth. Verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. All right, now, if you're convicted by this, praise God, that's good. That's better. It's better than the alternative, isn't it? Of your face going out on the email here to the Brevard Baptist Association? Praise God if you're convicted by that, all you got to do, he's calling you to make it right. That's all. We make it right. We all fall short of the glory of God. If you're convicted, we make it right. That's why he died. So we make it right. We make it right while it's today and while we can. We make it right. So if you're convicted by this, praise God, I'm glad that you are. You make it right, and you walk out of these doors here today full of joy. That's all. God is long-suffering, my Bible says. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's all. We make it right. That's the solution. We make it right. Verse 13, it says, none of the rest dared. I catch that word there, dared. None of the rest dared to join them. But the people esteemed them lightly. Now, I can hear that chatter. You know, those Christians are some really nice, thoughtful people. But count me out. I don't want to have to give up lying. Lying's so stylish today. I don't want to have to give up lying. I don't want to have to pick up my cross and follow Jesus like he said. Now, that's your prerogative. You don't have to do that if you don't want. Or you could say, I don't want to have to deny myself. I don't want to lose my life because I love my life. That's your prerogative. No one's forcing you to love Jesus or to follow him. But you can't have both. You can't keep your old life and walk in newness of life. You can't do it. You got to follow one or the other. Your old way of living or you're going to follow him and leave all that junk behind. You can't do both. It's one or the other. You have to choose who you're going to follow. Jesus never chased anyone down when they walked away. You read Mark chapter 10 on the rich young ruler. It even says Jesus looked at him and loved him and says, up. One thing you lack. Now, in that particular case, he told him to sell it all and get rid of it all, right? You take everything that you have and you give it to all the Guatemalans and the illegals that are coming over across the border. Sell everything that you have and give it all the way to them. And if you do that, then you can come and follow me. Now, he might say that to you, might not say it to me, might say something different. The question is, are you all in for God is the question. Once he has your heart, the sky's the limit. Love is reckless. Breaks the alabaster flask was a year's pay. How much money do you make in a year? God's not calling you to be something or someone that you can't. He's calling you to speak the truth in love. He's calling you to walk in truth. I love these two verses from the forgotten book of 3 John. He writes, for I rejoice greatly. He wrote this, he was 100 years old. I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth.
I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And church, may that describe you and I here as well. If you ever wonder, if we run into an apostle and we were wondering, hey, how are we doing? There is your litmus test. Not that you're perfect. He says, I have no greater joy that you and I are walking in truth. We fail, we slip up, we miss the mark, but we make it right. This is why Jesus died. This is why Jesus died. We can still make it right. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and he's righteous, praise God, to forgive us from all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can't lie to him. As we consider the sin of Ananias and Sapphira, Jesus said this about native liars. John 8:44, where Jesus said, as he was talking to the Pharisees, but the axiom is true until the end of time. He says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So, there you have it. Who is your father? And this is the reason why Peter, or I should say the Holy Spirit, equated lying with the devil. Because the devil is the father of lies, and when he lies, he speaks his native language. If you are a liar by nature, then you are not a son or a daughter of God. Not someone who has lied, because we all have lied. But if you are a liar, then you're not a son or a daughter of God. And that really, that's more good news here today. If you're convicted of that, or if you hear this on the radio in Philadelphia in May or June, if you're convicted by that, that's the best news you've ever heard in your life. Because instead of having a funeral for you, you've been convicted by the Holy Spirit, and you can change daddies today and make it right. If you're still breathing after hearing that and you're convicted, that's the greatest thing you've ever heard, let me tell you. Repent and make it right, right? Lord God Almighty, I'm not done yet, but this is how you would do that. Lord, you've shown me that Satan is my father. I believe that you have the power and the strength to adopt me and to set me free and break me from the chains of this old father. I turn from him today, and I turn to you. I repent of these sins. Please break the chains that my old fathers had on me, and I want to be chained to you. I receive you today as my Lord and my Savior. I receive you. I call on your name today. Please break the chains. Break the strongholds off of me, by God, I pray. In the name of Jesus and by the power of his name, I ask this. Amen. Revelation 21:8. It says, but the cowardly and the unbelieving and the sinners and the abominable and murderers and sexually immoral and drug users, pharmakia, and idolaters and all who are false. A King James says liars, but it's an adjective. All who are false will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we need to stop here for today. So the question is, of course, true or false? You and I walk in truth, while yet all who are false will have their part in the lake of fire. So I've been thinking a lot this week about Ananias and Sapphira. All they had to say was, Peter, I'm sorry. I man up. I take responsibility. I was afraid because I didn't know how we could live without money. I need security. And I believe the Lord showed me this morning that if you're willing to say that, then he will come in alongside and he'll do with you what my father, earthly father, used to do with me. And that is, he put his hand right here on your cheek and say to you, son, let me be your security. You take that step. You take that step of walking in truth, being honest with God, and confessing even this, and reach out to him, and I believe that's how he will respond to you. God is long-suffering. You can never exhaust the grace that he has for you. Never. As long as it's still today, you cannot exhaust his grace. Make it right with him. That's all you got to do. Make it right. Man up. Repent of this thing and turn from it. Peter, I'm sorry. But instead, they lied and they spoke their native language. They spoke their native language. And they both said, yep, we sold it for that much. What brazen evil that is. You see, look behind that mask of someone that would lie to God. Nah, you see, now when I peel back the layers of that mask, I can really identify who the enemy is here, can't we? Now, next week, the Lord gave me my sermon while I was in the parking lot at 6 this morning for next week. And that's going to be, how did these people end up in the church to begin with? How did they end up in the kingdom of God? How is there people like that in the church and in the kingdom? That's what we're going to look at here next week. So it's a little easier to understand here. This here is an example of Satan's peeps infiltrating the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus warned us, you'll know them by their fruit. And if you are a liar as a lifestyle, you are a plant of the enemy and the truth's not in you. And if the truth's not in you, then the deacons will hold the door open for you on the way out, wherever you are, whether it's here, whether it's down the street, whether it's some other church around the country, or churches everywhere. And let me tell you, that's a lot easier than doing it Peter's way. All the selfies, this is a selfie world. Man, oh man, can you see that on the Facebook shorts and YouTube shorts? Makes me bristle. How about you? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for convicting us. We join the apostles and say, once again, is it I? Have I lied to you? Am I the one? Even I myself say, well, this is the one thing I could never do is lie to you. But yet, the pastors, your pastors that you've installed are your spiritual leaders. And they did the same thing to Peter. Is it I? Am I the one that's done this? Lord, I and we as a church family, we confess this sin to you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your long suffering with us. We pray your word back to you that you're not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us, we come to repentance. So we leave it here behind this morning. We leave it behind. We turn from it. We repent of it, Lord. We praise you now. We praise your holy name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent, and I have today's question. It's a question about wealth. If you compare the American standard of living with the rest of the world, let's face it, this is a wealthy nation. And of course, many passages in the Bible address the wealthy. One example is Luke chapter 6, where Jesus says, "Woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving